might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We have been in a study in the Gospel of John. He's the last living apostle. He writes around just before 100 A.D., and then he puts, and is the one who puts a period and said God isn't going to say any more till he comes in Revelation 22. Don't add and don't subtract anything I said. So now, in the light of that, and he brings to us all of the history, secular history, sacred history, he brings to us the wonderment of what is it all about. It's all about God, all about the wonderful person of God, to be able to know the person of God in a personal way, to be able to understand and honor Him. And that is found in His wonderful incarnation, God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in the light of that, in our study, we have looked at in John and the Lord ministering. He fed the 15,000, men and women included, plus. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They were all excited about such a meal, such an awesome meal. They never had a fish biscuit like that ever. Now, so, and he leaves at night, goes over to Capernaum. And the crowd gets up in the morning to have another meal that they followed him. So they followed him all the way back over to Capernaum. And then they find him and they confront him. And that's what we've been studying in John chapter 6. And in the light of that, they wanted to have a wonderful privilege of more bread, more food. And they wanted to make him king so that he would provide and have the power and authority to give them food and all that they need. And that, of course, was not to be. It is not the way. Wrong way. He's king indeed, King of kings and Lord of lords. But he's not king that way. He's king over all, in all. For all. Now, here John chapter 6, and we share together his rebuke of their looking to him, but they're not believing him. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not, so they don't believe. Then we did verse 37, 38, 39, and 40 last time. Now, having finished that, then, having finished that we shared together in verse 40, I'll read verse 40 to pick up a little bit of the context. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, the response of the crowd to that statement, to those statements. He's standing in front of the crowd. The crowd is confronting him. And thus the Jews, verse 41. The Jews then murmuring at him. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. The Jews are now responding and they're murmuring. They're murmuring. And the word murmur means to mutter, to grumble, to growl. It points to dislike, discontent, dissatisfaction, a complaining, a mumbling, a grumbling. That's what they were doing. And so they did that with some, think of the crowd and all of that taking place. And as they were doing that, they were looking at each other, mumbling and grumbling and talking. And you understand that. Someone leans over to someone else and says, and then they lean over to someone else. They go back and forth. and back and forth. And they're all mumbling and grumbling. Mumbling and grumbling. He's standing in front of them. Now, so, in the light of that, murmuring and murmuring, and it's used, as you would know, a muttering, a subtle, to be a subtle discontent, discontentment, dissatisfaction. It's there, down in the gut. I really am not happy with this, the way it's going. Now, so therefore, muttering, as they did, and looking, let me help you with that, because I need to go back in history. Remember, they're expressing themselves by muttering. They aren't speaking logically, objectively. They aren't. They're just mumbling and grumbling inside their mind and heart. So now, in order to pick up yesterday, so we can move into then and now. Over, if you would please, to Numbers. I'm coming right back here. Over, if you would please, to Numbers chapter 14. Of all kinds of places, I'm going to do just one of them because that's all you'll need to get the flavor of this. Now, the Jews, as you know, were taken out of Egypt, by the 10 plagues, and they exited across the Red Sea, etc. And in the light of that exodus, they really didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave Jerusalem. I mean, didn't want to leave Egypt, I should say. They didn't want to leave Egypt. And they were angry about leaving Egypt. And they weren't happy. They weren't happy campers. And the word that defines them is murmuring. And in the Hebrew word, which has the same as the Greek, which is the Greek word, is from the Hebrew word, expressing discontent, to curse, to grumble, to growl, muttering sounds. It isn't it's inarticulate noise. You're just talking to yourself, as you know. Now, in the light of that, expressing dissatisfaction, anger, discontent, etc. Chapter 14, remember now, they're not going to go and into the land. They're going to, in unbelief, not go. Therefore, verse 1, 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, this is all of them now. I'm sure it wasn't everyone, but almost, might as well say all of them. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They're mumbling. Verse 27. How long shall I bear with you? 14:27. How long shall I bear with you? Bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 29. Remember now, they're going to die 20 years old or and up, all going to die in the wilderness in the next 40 years. Verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have, what were they doing? They murmured against him. And God didn't take it out on the women and children, young people. He took it out on those men that should have known and led the way, and they didn't. They just murmured, and God judged the murmurers. And so they didn't want to leave Egypt, they murmured. They didn't like God's lesson. They didn't want to learn from God by God's helping them understand. Remember, the water was bitter, and God made it sweet. They didn't want that. They didn't want to learn. They didn't want to learn anything. They didn't like Moses. And they didn't want to rightly possess the land. They don't mind having a land, but they didn't want to do it rightly. No, sir. They didn't want to do it right. So now, here we have, back over if you would, to the Gospel of John. So Israel were a murmuring people, and they got cut off from all the benefits they could have had. And therefore, come to John chapter 6, and in verse 41, the Jews murmuring at him. Now, it was one thing we read way back in their beginning. They murmured at Moses. Now what are they doing? They're murmuring at the God of Moses. They murmured at Moses. Now they're murmuring directly at the God of Moses. They haven't learned a thing. It's the way we are in our human nature. And therefore, in the light of that, their unbelief was very obvious. Remember the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, the God of this world, the devil himself, hath blinded the minds, the mentality of them that don't believe. The minute you don't believe, light goes out. Or if you never believe, the light doesn't go on. And you're in the dark. You're in the dark. So now, they were in unbelief, and they expressed this unbelief in the rejecting of the Lord, who stood right smack dab in front of them. And they rejected that. When they rejected the Lord, they rejected eternal life. That's what they did. They rejected that life. Now, having said that and keeping that in front, if you would, and they did not have to believe. They didn't have to believe. And they didn't. They didn't. I mean, they're right in front. They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe, and they don't have to at that moment. Ultimately, they will believe. That doesn't mean they'll be saved. But in the presence of God, on the other side of this earth of time, you will believe. You bet your life you believe. No question. Once you die, are you going to believe? Are you going to believe? But the trouble is, if you haven't got your heart right, then that's not so good. So now, but you don't have to believe. No, you don't. Hang on. Then they didn't. And they considered, and they're in God's presence, as we said. And because he said, I am, remember Exodus 3:14, I am that I am has sent me. Over here in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am all that you need. I am the bread of life, etc., etc. I am. That's who I am. I am. And their response, verse 41, he said, I am. See, they heard him. It isn't a question. They were listening. And they're responding. I am the bread which came down from heaven. So here he is. He's the bread which came down from heaven. Now that's what he said. And now they're going to react. They're reacting to his statement because, remember, they wanted John 6:34. They said, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They put their hands out and said, God, make bread come out just like Moses did manna from heaven. Make it come out, and our hands are out here. Fill them up with bread. We're already, like you did the other day. You fed us the loaves and fishes. Now feed us with the bread of heaven. And they wanted life, material life. And you know, like in Philippians, their God was their belly. Their God was their belly. Material things. They were locked into it. Material things. That was their life. They wanted life here and now and to keep on going. God wasn't offering that life. He was offering them a relationship to God, which is eternal life. Both wanted life. One wanted life physically. The other wanted life, gave life spiritually. Both wanted life. They wanted it for the wrong reasons, in the wrong way. So now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and so in the picking up now in verse 42, and they're going to give reasons. They're going to give, why did they reject? Why did they react so strongly against the Lord in whose presence they stood? Well, because in the process, they judged, as it were, by external worldly standards. Humans can only be human. They can't be anything else. And humans can only have human standards. That's all. That's the way it is. Squirrel have squirrel standards. Kangaroos, kangaroo standards. Kangaroos don't have lion standards. Lion standards don't have elephant standards. Humans don't have God standards. They're human. All lined up with human. So that's where they were. And in verse 42, they said, now did you come down? You said you came, you came down from heaven. You're standing in front of us. You're the bread of life. You are the bread, the person. And how could you come down from heaven? How could you come down? And their first, verse 42, first thing, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, is not this Jesus, and by the way, we know, raised in Nazareth, and his father and mother we know, and it's a rhetorical question. The answer is, yes, we surely know. We surely know they're his parents, where he was raised in Nazareth, not Jerusalem, in Nazareth. What a lowly place. Look at him. And a poor family at that, a carpenter's son. He didn't have anything. What kind of person is this? We already know him. They're looking at him from a human standpoint. And in doing so, dear friends, they did the same on Calvary's cross when he was hanging on the cross. And they looked and said, how can this be? They were looking from a humans. They didn't see it from God's place, God's standard, God's window, not at all. So here they are, and they're saying, how is it then, verse 42, here's their objection, since we already know he's human, his father and mother, we know, and they didn't understand any of that. And here's their objection. How is it that then that he saith, I came down from heaven? How is it? They're challenging his word and his origin. And they didn't mind if he said he was from Nazareth and my mom and daddy, and he didn't say that. And they looked at him from a social, worldly, religious outlook. And that's what they did. Now, in the light of that, and so judgment was by eternal, judgment was by external, worldly, social standards. That's how you look at God today, isn't it? People do. They go to the books, to the films, to the people, to religious system, and they try to understand God. And they try to understand Jesus. And then Jesus isn't quite enough, so we have to try something else. So, in the process, they murmured before God in the wilderness, they murmured before the tabernacle, the cloud by day, the fire by night. Now they're murmuring before God in the flesh and blood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God can't be like us. That was one of the problems. How can God have a body like us, born in Bethlehem of Judea? He can't have, he's just human. Ah, but he's more than that. But all they stopped right there. God can't be like God, the infinite, invisible, endless God. Everything is in the middle of God. All of the billions of galaxies in the middle of God. Well, then God...
God, how can that God be in flesh and blood?
Well, that he can't be. And more than that, how can we be like God? How could it be possible that we could be like God? That we would have such a relationship to God? How could it be like that, that we could be called his children, his sons, etc.? How could that be? So we have A, we have they honored themselves. They honored their own thinking. They honored, and they were not going to go. They were not going to go. There's no way they're going to receive the person standing in front of them for who he is. They weren't going to do it to honor him. And the world has all kinds of things today, 1800s and thereafter and all of that, with Darwin and evolution and all of that. And all of that is a way for us, for humans, because none of that is substantial, you know. Forget it. It never is going to work. Can't prove it. It's no good. It's no good. Stupid. That's all right. I won't pass the class, but it's stupid. Stupid. So now, having said that, we have evolution, and we're evolved, and that's what we say, because we don't want to have to think about God. We don't want to have to do that. Now, God, you're going to go. Here's that. That's number one. We see him as human. It's our think, our rationale, our mentality, our world. People around me feel this way, think this way. So we all can't be wrong, can we? And that's the first thing. I'm going to believe. No, sir, we're not going to believe. And the second thing, the Lord Jesus Christ answers their question. But he doesn't answer it. He totally ignores what they just said. He ignores it. He said, you guys are so far afield. Let me tell you what, though. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now, what were they doing? He went directly to the problem. They were going and talking and honoring themselves among themselves, and they were answering, murmur not, stop murmuring, stop grumbling, stop griping, stop having your opinion versus my opinion, stop voicing their thoughts. What do you think? What do you think? And then you ask somebody, what do they think? And you take them all together, and what do they think, you know? What do they think? They think. The footprint. What do you think about the footprint in the rock? What do you think about the rock having the footprint? A circular. Now, where are we going to? We need to get away from the rock and the footprint to where the rock came from. But see, where the footprint came from. But we do that, circular reasoning, we got end up nowhere. And thus in the process, stop grumbling, stop gambling. And they did not ask, no one brought up in their mumbling and murmuring, and they're looking for opinions about things. They did not say, what do you think God means? What do you think God thinks about this? They didn't ever said that. Do you want to know what God really thinks about that? Well, no, I don't really want to know at all. And therefore, you have the second thing, they were murmuring. And as long as we're coercing, coming back and forth in our little mind, and then we go with each other, find somebody that will think and feel and want to talk to me, and we go like that all over the place, and as long as we're doing that, that's an excuse to keep us from answering the question, from honoring God. It's a way, call someone on the phone, we talk about them, read a book, we do all of that. You can do all of that stuff. It's a way to get around things. Thirdly, they chose not to listen. They listened, but they didn't listen. They were hearing and seeing, but choosing not to understand. It isn't that they didn't hear verses 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, etc. It isn't that they didn't hear that. They did. They just didn't want to understand it. Hold your finger here a moment, and let me throw a little light on that. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And may I pick up directly from Isaiah chapter 6. And it's repeated in Acts, etc. Because it was the heart of the people. They weren't any different than in Isaiah's day, Moses' day. Verse 15. 13, 15, Matthew. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Lest, not at any time, I don't want it to happen. Lest at any time, I don't want it, don't let it happen. Lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Now the point, that they'd be converted and I should heal them. They don't want to change. They like being where they are. They're very comfortable. Very comfortable. It's totally no good. It isn't helpful. It isn't right. It isn't logical even. But we feel very good about it. Using evolution or anything you want. And we feel very good about it. Are you going to think about it and weigh it out objectively? Nope. Not going to do that. I feel very good about it, and I'm not going to fix anything. Not going to fix it. Did I hear what? Am I listening, Lord, to what you just said? I am, but I want you to know I don't intend to hear or see or understand, because otherwise I'd have to do business with you and have a unique relationship to you. I like my earthly life. My belly is God. I'm not interested in you being my God. I like what I have. I like where I go. I like what I do. I like how I do it. Boom. Therefore, cut off. I reject you. And in listening, you know all the kinds of listening. People are listening, with criticism. So when you sit there and I say the cat chased the rat, then someone wants to criticize. You want to criticize. It's going to listen. You're all listening. Not you. Listening to criticize. People listen to criticize. They do. And then they look up in their Bible in number 306 and say, well, see, that word means, see. Why don't you just listen? We're going to help you. Then you can look up your word. But no, we're looking to do what we do. We do it. We aren't interested in learning. So now, here they are. And so we listen with criticism. And people listen. Out of resentment, hurt, bitterness, that they listen for ammunition and stuff. They listen out of superiority. I'm really a thinker. And I think and I understand and I'm boy. And they listen as a superior. And you have to learn a little bit. You know, you have no idea. Do you know how stupid we are? And the more you grope with knowledge, the more stupid you are going to be. Do you understand? Because it's such a vast, vast realm of complicated, compounding everything. Awesome. Any truth, any study in medicine, heart, the diseases, they're going to have to keep studying them and change them. And you know, coffee's bad and coffee's good for your cancer and everything. And you get all this stuff coming and going. And you have to keep doing it because it's so vast. Ah. So we listen. We're superior. Mm-hmm. We're superior in our knowledge. And we're indifference. We listen with indifference. I don't care what he said. I don't care what it said. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to go to sleep. So what? So now, having said all that, so they're hearing, but not to heed. Do you want to hear so you understand? No. Are you listening so you can learn? No, we aren't doing that either. And then you want to add number four. Our right to resist and persist God's will, God's word. God wants to save us, and we can resist that. We can utterly resist it. I don't have to honor you, God. I don't have to honor your person and work on Calvary's cross. I don't have to do that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't have to believe that. The Spirit of God convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16. I don't have to pay attention to him. No, sir, I'm not going to pay attention to him. And therefore you come to John chapter 6, and thus verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me. Now they're murmuring, and they're looking, and no man can come. And they don't have to come. You don't have to believe. You don't have to come. Come and believe. Remember verse 35, Jesus said unto them, 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do any of that. You can go do your thing. And that's what they did. That's what they did. Now, in the light of that, no man can come to me. Except no one. That means no one. No one can come except the Father, which has sent me, draw him to draw. Now get that a little quicker to help you. If you were taking a big net in John chapter 21, the fishing net, a fishing net's out there, and they're pulling the net in, and you know what? The net's heavy. It resists. It doesn't flow easy. It's resisting, and you reach out to overcome and pull it in. It's resisting the net. In order to get the net, you have to overcome the resistance. Paul and Silas are taken by the people, and they're taken, and they by force, and they take them, and put them in prison. Put them in prison. They drag them through the street. There's a resistance. They're dragging them. They aren't, Paul and Silas aren't coming along wonderfully. No, they're being dragged, forced, drawn to drag, like drag the net, draw. It's used in John 18 of the sword, a sword. The sword is in Peter's sheath, and he reaches down and pulls out the sword. It resists. He has to put force to overcome and pull the sword out. It resists. Always resistance. Draw. And you got to overcome resistance. All right, hang on to that. Over, if you would, please. Here in John, well, turn one other place here. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And may I pick up, please, in John chapter 12 and in verse 32. And I, 12 and 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, there's your word, all men unto me. And, you know, without doing that ahead now, the summons is made by God, because Christ died for you and me and everyone ever born. And no one, that dying for all are going to give an account. They are summoned to be saved or judged. But no one can escape the summons from the God of heaven to report. Now, back over to John 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. There's a resistance. One other place where you're here, you'll pick up the resistance. Now we're going to apply it over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And if I can, in verse 51. Acts 7 and in 51. Stephen is giving his wonderful exposition of the Old Testament truth of Israel and their unbelief and why they're at where they're at. So here in the process of unfolding that wonderful history, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. You're resisting. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's resistance. They are resisting in such a way, they aren't going to come. They just aren't going to come. I don't going to believe, and you can't make me believe. Oh, God could, but then it'd have robots. And God isn't interested in that. So now, in the light of that, and in the light of that, God the Son shows God the Father. We did that last time and time again. The Lord Jesus Christ's job as in perfect humanity was show God the Father. So when you saw the Son, you would hear the words of the Father, see the works of the Father, to see me, John 14, to see me is to see the Father. So when you, here's the Lord Jesus standing in front of them, to see and to know the Son, standing in front of them, is to see and know the Father. And thus, the Father, what are you doing, God? I'm trying to get the world to pay attention, like Father's Day we did last week. I'm trying to get the world to pay attention. Pay attention to me, God. And thus, here I am, in my Son, perfect humanity, perfect deity. And when you hear the words, works, and the witness, it's all about the Father. So, when I come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am believing what? I have to believe that He's God. I have to. That's the only way I can get saved. God. The Father. That's right. God the Father. Wow. So, I'll read it. No man can come to me, everyone that comes to me, except the Father which sent me draw him. What are you doing, God? I'm presenting myself to humans to believe. And no one's believing. You ought to be believing. Here I am in front of you, the Father. The Father. But you're in flesh and blood, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Yep, I can't help that. That's the only way I can get to you guys. To see it, to understand it in a most wonderful way. So now the works and words we bear witness. Just for quickly to see that without, we did it, but just chapter 10, if you would. Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. In chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not, N-O-T. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They bear witness of me. And you can keep reading and reading and reading and reading, and they're going to say the same thing. You see me, you see the Father. It's the way it is. That's how it's supposed to be. And when you reject the Father, by rejecting me, and the Father wants you to come, and you don't want to come, verse 37 again, all that the Father giveth me shall, all the Father gives, verse 37, the second part, shall come to me. They come. That's our part, is to come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Come, 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 come. Come learn of me. Come. And they had to come. So what's the requirement? God, you want me to come to you, my Father? I do. How am I going to come to you? Through the Son. Through my Son. Through His person and work on Calvary's cross. That's how you're going to come. Now, all that the Father giveth me, he gives all. He died for all and everyone that comes. But I don't want to come. Then you don't. Which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. I'm going to do that. So now, life, here and now, God the Father is going to give it in a most wonderful way. And so that you can have life there and then. The Jews weren't interested in there and then. They were interested in now. No, they weren't interested in that. Pie in the sky, the utopia, the fountain of youth. We have that, but the average human doesn't care because that's all talk and there is no such fountain of youth, etc., etc. So now, here we are. And the life that I have and understand, I want to keep. I don't want to lose that life. And again, like we said, to have a relationship to God means that I'm going to have a problem with this world system, because God is different than the system is. He is. Then you're going to get saved, but then you're going to be different in a wonderful way. Well, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to happen in my life. I want to make sure I fit in with the crowd, etc., etc. So now, John chapter 6, verse 45. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh to me. Father coming, you can't miss it. But, and God, you want us all, you want to know who am I drawing? I'm drawing you guys out there murmuring. I'm drawing you in. But we don't want to come in. We resist, and we resist big time. And therefore, we aren't coming. We're going to do what we're going to do any old way. So what? And thus, verse 45, the scriptures give an illustration. And they shall be taught in the millennial reign of Christ, every man, therefore, that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, cometh to me. And what are they going to do in the millennium? Here's the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected, wonderful body and that. And what are they going to do? They're going to learn about him. They're going to listen to him and learn. And when they listen and learn, they're going to come. That's what they're going to do. He isn't going to hit them with signs. He isn't give them wonders. He isn't going to use miracles. He's just going to give him the simple faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it's going to come. Well, how about a big deal? No. And I'm trying to tell you, here they are murmuring. All you got to do is listen to me. I'm trying to help you understand. Use your mind, use your heart, use your head, and understand. But they weren't doing that. They just weren't going to do it. And thus, in the process. Verse 66. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save except the Son. He which is of God, he hath seen the Father. And by the way, up in verse 45, every one, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of. Do you see the word O-V, of? That's a preposition, from. It means from. He's the source. They're hearing and learning from the Father. From the Father. From, F-R-O-M. From the Father. They're learning from him. The Father's going to teach them. The Father's doing it now, but they rejected it. No man hath seen the Father save except the Son, he which is of God, he which has seen the Father. Only he. Now, in the light of that, looking at that, remembering that, God, here we are, able to learn, able to see, able to understand, if we want to, but we don't have to. You don't have to. I don't tell you what to believe. You don't have to believe. Believing is you're commanded to believe, you're summoned to believe, you better believe, but you don't have to. You can believe whatever you want. And we do. We believe the moon is made of green cheese. We believe whatever we want to believe about anybody, anything, anywhere. We believe it. We can do whatever we want. You can. You sure can. You're going to pay for it. You're going to pay. Because then you're stuck with this earthly life and all of its problems and everything else that goes with it. And you have no hope, no help, no future of any good. It's bad news. But it'll never happen. Oh, but it will. It will. It will. You're living in these bodies of death. And death is the king of all fears. And death awaits each one of us, like it or not. Apart from the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so, over in closing, if you would, please. I hope you got a little bit. We don't want to be murmuring, grumbling, griping, dissatisfaction. I don't like that word. I don't like what he said. Well, you don't have to like what I said. You see, you better like what we read, though. You better like that. You better like what it says. That you better like. You're in trouble if you don't like that, because there's nowhere else to go. To God, we're in his presence and his word. And God, I don't want to be a murmurer in your presence, in the presence of your word. I want to open your word at home, work, school. I want to open it and read it with thanksgiving. God help me. So now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, may I pick up, please, if I can, right directly in verse 10. 10, 10. You're going to have the word and thus tie it together. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, this is back with Moses. We already looked at that a little bit to remind ourselves. We don't, murmuring doesn't come out good at all. Muttering, murmuring, grumbling, growling. Now, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them yesterday for example and samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, we're reading it. We're sitting here thinking about it, understanding it. And that's why God put it in writing. These things have I written unto you. And we've got it. We're looking at it. And God, why is it there? So that what? I don't murmur. I don't want to do, God, in your presence, in the light of your word. I don't want to be a murmurer, a grumbler. And, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And the easy way to remember that is, when you're up on Mount Everest, stay on your knees. Don't stand up the wind or Mount Washington, where the wind is so strong and the wind will take you off. Stay down low to the ground. Humbled, humbled. God. Verse 13. There hath no temptation, trial, test taken you, but such as is common to man. Therefore, don't get all upset, worried, disappointed, etc., depressed. Don't do that. There's nothing uncommon. So whatever you have, so does other. Everyone has it in one form or another. Worry is in all kinds of sizes and shapes and colors. Worry is. So, wherefore have no temptation taken you, trial, test, trouble, but such as is common to man. So we're not going to get all upset about what happens today, tomorrow. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, tried, above that you're able. God knows what you can handle and can't. God isn't going to have you lift 500 pounds when it's only 5 pounds. God doesn't do that. We do that. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't give you something you can't carry. If God lets it come, man, carry it. And if you're having trouble, verse 13, above all that you are able, but will with the trial, the test, the trouble, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And God, bear it. God, you're able to help us through it. And if it's too heavy, you know that. But you'll help us through it. So it isn't, God, we aren't left in the lurch. We don't have to murmur, mumble, grumble about it. God said, I'm God. I am the bread of life. I am life. And you need to know that. You either believe or you don't. Either you're going to allow God here and now, and we're in his presence. Either going to let him be God or you're not. How's that? It's a yes or no. Up to you. I don't believe he's God. Well, watch him. I'm going to hit God in the nose. No, you're not. You aren't going to do that. No. Nope. God, you don't want us to murmur, and we do need to believe. And when we're believing, we're going to have all the benefits and the blessing of what and who we believe. We believe that thou art the living and only God, that you died on Calvary's cross to save us. We're going to be saved. We're going to be satisfied. You're satisfied. We're satisfied. God, you're sufficient. You're sufficient. If you're sufficient in me, for me, through me, then I must be sufficient. So no matter what, God, it isn't something I'm going to produce or make happen. It's something in your grace and mercy that you've done for me. God, thank you very much. I don't want to murmur. I'd rather lose my tongue, literally, than murmur. That's what I'd rather do. I hope I do. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you with all our heart. God, deal with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for looking to us, looking at us, in us, through us, that we would have the wonderful, wonderful benefits of your personal involvement. God, thank you that we can believe. Thank you that we're able to have faith, to trust you, to put all of our hope, all of our everything into your hands. You said, for without faith it is impossible to please you. For if we're going to come to you, we need to believe that you are, and that you are a wonderful rewarder of everyone that comes. No one will be disappointed, discouraged. No, if we come, God, we're going to be wonderfully satisfied. We have to grow up to get to enjoy it more and more. But God, it's going to happen. So God, thank you very, very much. Deal with the heart of each one of us, simply because of who you are. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn in your hymnal as we sing a closing hymn in 559. 559. Let us stand together.